Well, I'm Manuel Ambrosio. I'm in a church planting ministry. When I came here last 2017, and then after a few months, I went back to the Philippines, and I received your support. So the ministry is growing, and I have four children, four boys. They are all now in the ministry. Three graduated Marietta Bible College in Marietta, Ohio, and went back to the Philippines and to help me in planting churches. And my youngest is now in church in our children's ministry, because we do have children's ministry and feeding ministry. He's in church in that ministry. He's also a pastor. So please do pray that the ministry is growing, that I can, time that I came here last February, I left my church and gave it to my second son. He's now in church, in our main church. And I started a new mission work in San Jose del Monte, the biggest city of all the cities and towns of Bulacan. And I started the mission work there last November, and I led people already, especially couples. They are excited to start services, but sad to say, we cannot find a place to start for worship. The rentals are too high, too expensive, because it's close to Manila. The next, from that city, the next is Manila City. So it's too expensive. So God gave me the opportunity to come here. So I'm raising $60,000 to buy a piece of land. Probably 600 square meters, I don't know, in acre, just enough for this, like this place, to start building a temporary church, just to start worship. We are not looking for a big or fancy building, just to have roof, it will be enough for us to worship service. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be here, to give an update for the ministry in the Philippines, and also to share the Word of God. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 1. Paul said here in Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. For Moses describeth that the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." In verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen?
Amen.
It's easy to be saved. Amen? No need to do hard work. No need to do hard things. No need to join religion in order to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and shall be saved. Amen?
Amen?
But in verse 14 it says here, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Let us pray. Our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace this morning thank Lord for this opportunity you had given us to gather together in this place to study thy word. Lord, guide us and direct us. Once again, as we study thy word, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, that we may, Lord, do what we heard and what we hear from your word, O God. Not only to be a hearers, but a doers also. Guide us once again and let your name be glorified in this Sunday school. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Friends, as Apostle Paul said here in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What is your heart's desire? It's about time to evaluate our heart's desire. Amen? You know, we know that God honors our heart's desire. In Psalms 37 verse 4 says, I will give the desires of thine heart. Amen? God really answers our heart's desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. But sometimes we do have a desire that are illegitimate. We know when King David desired to build a magnificent temple, God did not permit David to build a temple. Instead, he used Solomon, his son, to build a temple. Sometimes we have a desire that are illegitimate. Amen? You know, I do have a young man in my church, the first church that we started in Tarlac in 1975. In 1984, I left to be the pastor in the church until 1990. I do have a young man who was the deacon, who was the chairman of my deacon. He was so excited in serving God. He led a lot of people. He invited a lot of people. He do have that charisma to lead people. He was about 38 or 39 years old during that time. But you know, one day, he got a desire in his heart. So he started not to show up in the church. For about 3 consecutive Sundays, he did not show up. So I decided to visit him to ask him what happened or do you have a problem. You know, when I came to him, he said, Pastor, actually, I made a resignation letter. I want to submit this resignation letter. Then I did ask him, what happened? Is there a problem or is there a thing that I offended you? No, Pastor, there's no problem, but I got the desire in my heart. I'm resigning as a deacon, and I probably cannot attend the church anymore because I do have a desire in my heart to be a millionaire. Some of my friends, they tell me that if I want to be a millionaire, I will start now, because if I reach the age of 42, then it's really hard to get a million. I want to get a million before I will reach the age of 42. So to make the story short, I left him. I was so sad, and I feel sorry for him. He started a business, and he did hard work. He bought about 7 trucks, heavy trucks and light trucks, distributing liquors and beer and soft drinks. He started many warehouses in some cities. To make the long story short, after 3 years, he got his million. You know what happened after he got his million? One night, while having a drinking session with his friend, he died with a heart attack. He got his million. You know what happened after he died? He got his million. His wife and her second husband enjoy the million. Sometimes we have a desire in our hearts that are illegitimate. Right. But for me, beloved in the Lord, the greatest heart's desire of a man is to win the loss. Right. Amen? Amen? Like Apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Friends, when God saved me, I got the desire in my heart. Supposed to be, I am a mechanical engineer. After I finished my fourth year mechanical engineering, supposed to be for that last year, because engineering course in the Philippines is 5-year course. But I got saved. During my college year, I stayed in Manila City together with my older sister, Mrs. Quezon, the wife of Emmanuel Quezon. She got saved because Pastor Quezon, according to his history, he said he got saved during his teenage year. And then I stayed in their place, but they always talk to me about Christianity because they found a small church starting a Filipino missionary who came back to the Philippines, graduated from Tennessee Temple, came back to the Philippines and started a ministry. They met him, and my wife, after few weeks of attending, she got saved. And they always talk to me about Christianity, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and where shall I spend my eternity. But I hated them so much, because during that time, I don't want to hear any other kind of doctrines or teachings. I do believe that my religion is the right religion. I do believe that my dad is the right man of God, because I grew in a spiritism cult, satanic worship. So since young boy, I was really trained how to worship and serve the devil. We consult evil spirit. My dad became so well known because during that time, he can perform miracles. He do heal a lot of people. You know, if my dad only accept money during his time, I can say probably we are one of the richest family in the Philippines. I witnessed with my own eye rich people, politicians, who came to our place just to be healed by my dad. After they've been healed, they are offering a lot of money. But because of my dad's zealousness in doing that, he said, I will not accept any amount. Because what I believe, that God gave this power free, then I will give it free. He did not accept money. So I was trained in that belief. But my dad doesn't believe on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't believe the Bible. He said the Bible is a spiritual word. You may not understand that because it's a spiritual word. The spirit who dwell in the medium will be the one to tell you what's the meaning of that word. My dad believed that hell and heaven are in this world. If you are rich, you have everything, you have a beautiful wife, then you are already in heaven. But if you are poor, you got a lot of problems, then you are already in hell. That's the belief of my wife, of my dad. He believed also in reincarnation. But I really thank the Lord that a man who is worshiping and serving the devil like me can be saved and be washed by the blood of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I stayed in Manila, and they always talk to me about Christianity, and they even ask their pastor to do a Bible study every 2:00 in the afternoon, just for me to listen, because I don't want to listen to them. They ask their pastor. But every time I see that pastor coming, I will make an excuse. I never attend a Bible study because I believe my religion is the right religion and my dad is the right man of God. However, my sister sponsored me after I finished my fourth year mechanical engineering. She did ask me, Brother, do you want to see Baguio City? Then I said, oh yes, I want to see Baguio City. Baguio City is the summer capital of the Philippines. About 10,000 feet high sea level. The weather is good, just like here in Manila. The surroundings is good. And then I said, yes, I want to see Baguio City. I will give you money. You will stay there for 5 days. I didn't know what is that. I didn't know that that was a camp. But I said, yes, I want to see that. And then when I came to that place, to that those three buses, you may ride on those three buses, he said. When I boarded in the bus, then I came to know that they are Baptists. They are sharing Bible verses, memory verses, and singing godly songs. Then I said to myself, oh, I'm in out of place. I don't want to see Baguio City. I don't want to be with this Baptist. I want to step out the bus. But the conductor closed the door of the bus. No one is allowed to leave because we are ready to go. Then I said to myself, when we get there in Baguio City, I will not listen to you. I will just roam around the city and look the beautiful places in Baguio City. But when we got there in Baguio City, the camp director says those rules and regulations during orientation. No one is allowed to leave the campus when there is a session. No one is allowed to stay in their cabins when there is a session. If somebody caught you not attending the session, you will clean all the restrooms all day long. There was no running water in Baguio City during that time, 1975. They are buying water because those restrooms, you can really smell a bad smell. Sometimes even you will lose your appetite to eat. Then I said, oh, I will not clean the restrooms because even during lunch or dinner, it's really hard to get your appetite. And then I said, I will just sit on the few, then I will just close my eyes and close my ears. I will not listen to you. But during the third night of that camp meeting, the Lord spoke to me concerning my eternity. So I began to realize that my father cannot save me, my good works cannot save me, and my religion cannot save me. Before the camp is over, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior and Lord of my life. But He did not only save me, He called me in His ministry. When I came back to Manila, supposed to be I will finish my engineering course, but the Lord impressed in my heart that He needs me to serve Him. Till I decided to quit on my engineering course and enrolled in the Bible college. But when my father knew about it, he got mad at me and he sent me home. My dad did everything to stop me going to the Bible college. He said to me, son, listen to me and listen good. Christ has nothing to do with you. Son, let me alone to serve our God. I want you to finish that course. Don't believe to those Baptist preachers. They read the Bible literally. And you cannot see Baptist group in our country that have buildings. They just congregate under a shade of a tree, sometimes in a small garage. And yet they are claiming that they are serving the living God. Don't listen to them. And they believe that Jesus Christ will come again. Son, believe me, Jesus Christ will never come back. So don't listen to them. I want you to finish that course. Son, if you can finish that course this year, you may find job abroad. You may be a multimillionaire someday. So forget that foolishness. Forget that Christ. I want you to finish that course. When I kept on explaining to my dad and reasoning to my dad, then my dad began to beat me. He did beat me so hard until he choked my neck and said, listen to me. Whom you will obey? Whom you will follow? Me as your dad or your Christ? I was hesitated to speak for a couple of minutes. I really want to obey my dad and follow my dad. But the Lord Jesus Christ saved me and He wants me to serve Him. Till I quote in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36 and 37, the Bible says, and a man's foe shall be the of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So I stood up and said, Dad, I really love you. And I thank God for giving me a dad like you. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your love. But Dad, I'm very sorry. The Lord Jesus Christ found me, He saved me, and He wants me to serve Him. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then my dad pushed me so hard and he said, get out. From now on, you cannot come back in this house. I will not treat you as my son anymore. I will not support you even single penny. Then I quote in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I left my dad and went to the Bible college. For more than 2 years, while I was in the Bible college, I have no communication with my family. They didn't want to hear news from me while I was in the Bible college. Till when I got married, they didn't even support my wedding and attend my wedding because of Christ. Beloved in the Lord, I will never regret in my decision to follow the Lord. Because even my dad, who persecuted me so much, he got saved in 1996. After my schooling in the Bible College, my brother-in-law and I went back to our home province in Tarlac. We started the first church. And all of my siblings got saved. We are 10 in the family. All of them got saved. And we started some more churches. And we kept on praying that my dad and my mom will open their eyes and see the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until in 1996, my dad surrendered his life and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God, we have now more than 30 missionaries in the whole family. Amen. So anything that you want to send to our office, don't just put Ambrosio. We have now 10 Ambrosios in our mission board. Amen. And I thank God. I have four sons. They are all pastors. Amen. So God put the desire in my heart. Because when I got saved, you know, the Philippines has 120 million people population. And 86% are Roman Catholic. They have zealousness, as the Bible says here in verse 3. He said here, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." That's the condition of our people. That's the condition of my family. They are trying to establish their own righteousness. They have zealousness in praising God, in glorifying God, in serving God. But what I believe, zealousness without knowledge is fanaticism. That's the condition of our people. They are so fanatics. Just a few weeks ago, during the Lenten season, you can witness majority of them carrying heavy crosses, cutting their back with blade, beating, bleeding, and some are really nailing themselves on top of the cross, hoping in doing that, their sin will be forgiven. Zealousness without knowledge. Amen? So that's the condition of the people. They are fanatics, they are religious, but without knowledge. That's why when I got saved, I don't want to see my parents, my loved ones, to be bound to hell. That's the condition of the people. Because those people who will not get saved, the Bible says they will be bound to hell. Amen? So the condition of the people. That's the condition of the people in our surroundings, those who are not yet saved. That's their condition. Sometimes, you know, even here probably, not only the Philippines, those rich people, they have a hard time to win them. They don't have time for God. Probably even here, those rich people, they don't have time to serve God. Sometimes, those people that have so much materially, instead of a blessing, become really a blessing. Sometimes it will become a curse when we don't know how to appreciate and thank God for what we have. Supposed to be here, you have all the resources, you have all the reason to serve God better because God bless you so much in this country. Amen? Amen? The first time I came here in 1990, I thought America is the promised land, like Canaan. Wherein the first time I came, I saw a lot of honey and milk. But in the Philippines, it's really hard to have honey and milk, especially poor people. But here, you have so much. I hope and pray to God that America will not turn back to God. I thank America because in 1900, you sent missionaries in our land. And we are the product of your labor. Amen? In 1800, you rescued us during the Spanish regime. We were under Spanish for more than 300 years. But Americans came and rescued us. During the Second World War, we were under the Japanese army. A lot of people died, women being molested. But one day, General Douglas MacArthur landed in Leyte and rescued us from the Japanese army. I heard that when General Douglas MacArthur came back here in your country and reported to the president, he said to your president, Mr. President, what we need to send to the Philippines is not military, but what we need to send to the Philippines is missionaries. So thank God, because you responded, you did send missionaries in our land, and we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you will not stop, amen, in supporting the mission work, especially those in third countries, because Philippines is considered as a third country. I hope you will still continue to send missionaries and to support missionaries. It's time already, preacher? Okay. Thank you so much. Although I didn't finish my message, so I hope to see you again there in the worship service. Thank you so much, Pastor.